He's watching you. God is watching you. His eyes will search throughout this world for one committed heart.
May all who come behind me find me faithful. May the fire of my devotion light their way. May the footprints that I leave lead them to believe, and the life I live inspire them to obey.
Before your very eyes, His wonders to perform.
Welcome to The Journey with Annie Meadows. Honest, thought-provoking, The Journey is a half-hour program airing every week. Listen as Annie shares from her heart and life experiences with the belief that you can be free, you can be better, and you can take courage. For questions, comments, or prayer needs, you may contact us here at Faith Runner Incorporated by calling us at 702-277-1911. Or visit our websites, faithrunner.org, where you will discover more of Annie's testimony, her music, and updates on prophecy. Or go to anniemeadows.com to join the adventure and discover Annie Meadows, the author. Let's join Annie as she brings her message to you today.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. I appreciate that. And welcome once again to The Journey. I'm Annie Meadows. I have a couple of quick announcements. First of all, throughout the season, Christmas season, I'm playing music each week, a song, maybe two sometimes, from my Christmas CDs, which are available at our website, faithrunner.org. One is entitled Seasons, and the other is Memories. And so you might want to check those out. They're only $10, and I appreciate the support. And then also, I want to announce that Lake Las Vegas, this past Saturday, I had a moment with some friends to go out for about an hour and a half to the beginning of the Snowflake Festival. It's every weekend, beginning at 5 p.m. at Lake Las Vegas. Seasons Market is the center of where it is. Just absolutely, we had the best time. It was so, so fun. And then really funny, I've been asked to take part in an ugly sweater fashion show on Saturday, December 22nd at the Snowflake Festival. So I guess I'll be there for that. But then also the debut for the first time in public of my Annie's Victorian Tea Party Designs business. It will be at the Snowflake Festival on December 22nd. So I'll talk about that again coming up. But I want to get right to a dear friend. I call her my Helen. I always have. Helen is married to my wonderful guitar player who all of you know, Sambi Catano. And if you were at the Walking on Water concert, you saw him in all his glory. And his wife, Helen, is from the Lake District of Northern England, where you know I go to write my books, and I have a great love for that area. So when I met Helen, somebody had told me, he says, when you meet my wife, you're going to love my wife when you find out where she's from. And so what prompted this program today and why I have Helen here, and Helen has visited a couple of other times. She's been here on the journey with me. We had a conversation, as we would. Helen is one of my very best friends, and we had a conversation on the telephone. The title of the program today is No More Guilt, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, I'm not talking about the guilt of sin. I'm talking about being guilty as a Christian of feeling pain and hurt and emotions that the world would sometimes think that we have no right to feel. And Helen and I had that conversation because she's been right alongside me. Her and Sambi have been right alongside Peter and I as Peter battles terminal cancer, which we are still believing that it's not terminal in God's eyes, that he can heal Peter. But we had a conversation and I said, you know, Helen, sometimes I bring guests and I bring friends onto the journey because I really want this program to stay real and unpretentious. And Helen said, I'll come. And so today I have Helen in studio. Helen, it's so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you, Annie.
You're a blessing to me, my friend.
And you to me. Thank you for asking me.
So, you know, Helen, I have a couple of scriptures that I did want to share today, but I wanted to kind of begin our conversation like we did on the phone. You know, I told you that I really struggled, you know, being quote unquote Annie Meadows, being in the spotlight, you know, being a radio personality, gospel singer, and all these things. And but, you know, according to everybody else, a dynamic Christian, I hope I am. But
you
then, you know, facing the guilt of, oh, I have all these horrible emotions of watching my husband suffer and what we're going through and feeling, you know, like I'm in a prison taking care of him. And you have gone down this road with your daddy, you
I
know,
have indeed,
and so I wanted you to kind of tell them what your father went through and how, what, you know, just briefly, what happened to your daddy and what that kind of did to you.
My dad was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, but he was ill before that too. He had a triple heart bypass. He had a massive heart attack, followed by a triple heart bypass. And then a year later, he was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And as it turned out, his cardiologist said sometimes, very rarely, when you're opened up, it can cause tumors in the lungs. So that's what had happened with my dad.
My gosh.
And I prayed and prayed and prayed that it wouldn't be terminal, and I prayed God would heal him. And I really was focusing on God healing him here on earth so that I could have my dad and he could see me get married again. He could see me have children. And as far as I was concerned, I was kind of, I was angry that that didn't happen. You know, he got taken, well, he went home to be with the Lord. And it took me a long time to get through the anger and work through all of that. And I felt like such a bad Christian because I was feeling all the hurt and the pain and the grief of losing my dad. And I was questioning God, until I finally realized, well, he is healed. He is whole and he's happy.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, that was quite a very difficult
but
journey.
But you know, when I remember when I first got to know you, Helen, and Mom Betty, and if she's listening, you know, hello.
Hi, Mom.
We love love you,
I
Mom.
I have to call her Mom. She
we
tells
call
me
her
off.
Mom. We tell her, we call her Mom. And Betty, I've stayed with Betty several times now in the Lake District in her home, and she's a lovely, lovely woman. And you know, Helen, just sitting with your mom and her telling me what, you know, what she went through, you know, losing her husband, your
of
father.
Almost 40 years.
Yeah. You know, that, you know, how, and then you sharing with me, and I got to be honest with you, I sympathized, I felt bad. But I know now I didn't understand.
No, you can't unless you walk that
exactly.
journey.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I thought I did. And then I realized, you know, in talking with you, I understand Helen and I understand Betty now. And I that's the thing that sometimes I deal with, Helen, that bothers me, it makes me angry, is I feel like people don't get it.
Yeah. And people can pretend to get it.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, how's Peter now? It's like, Yeah, he had a head cold.
Yeah.
I don't know. People, you try to tell them what you're going through, that, you know, you can't leave the home. You have to, you take care of this person constantly. They're, oh, well, you know what? It'll get better. It's like they're not getting it until they walk that road. And so now me and you understand each other. We understand all those emotions.
Yes. Yeah.
And I get angry. I've gotten angry. I've gone through the entire gambit I believe, of all the emotions.
Yeah, you will.
Bargaining, you know, anger, you know, just, and now it's become to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't mean that we don't hurt Helen.
No, no. And I think when you're in a position like you are, you know, ministering to mm-hmm. people, and my husband is a worship pastor, mm-hmm. which... I am a pastor's wife, mm-hmm, which is hilarious exactly. to me. But, you know, people expect you to always act a certain way mm-hmm. and they expect you to react a certain way mm-hmm. and they can judge you when you don't.
That's right.
And I think it people need to realize as well that we're all human.
Right.
And we all suffer. We're not higher or lower than anybody else. We're all on the same level. God loves us all just the same. And he understands our pain.
That's very true. And you know what? That leads me to the Bible verses that I want to share. Because, and basically, it's the same scripture, just in two different versions of the Bible. It's what has just stayed on my heart. Because mm-hmm. there's many scriptures. I mean, Elijah, who just ran away and said, oh, Lord, you know, I just want to die. And Job and all these people. But this one might shock people. It's... The Apostle Paul mm-hmm. penned this, who was perhaps one of the greatest Christians that ever walked this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many of us Christians are Christians because of his writings.
That's
even,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so here in 2 Corinthians 1:8, in the New King James Version, it reads like this: "For we do not want to." Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing for those of you who are listening. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." And that part right there stuck right at this, just what we just got through saying.
Mm-hmm.
People are ignorant to what we're going through.
Yes.
And he goes on to say this, "that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." And he is saying exactly what we're saying here. He's saying that we need you to understand that this was so horrible that we wanted to
die. Didn't want to live, that's right. That's
it, right. It could have even mean we wanted to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so then in the Message version, and that was just...
I love that, how it really brings it to life, the Message.
It brings it to life. It's like something that me and you would say.
Yes, yeah.
2 Corinthians 1:8 is what I just read. But in the Message version, it's 2 Corinthians 1:8-11. So I'm going to read this quickly. It's lengthy, but not lengthy, but it's amazing. I actually could have written this. You could have written this.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to this. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing, but this is the Message version of the Bible. For those of you who are not familiar with the Bible, the Message version just puts it into our modern day language. And it says this: "We don't want you to be in the dark, friends, about how hard it was when all this came down on us in Asia Province. It was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row." How many times have I said that to you, Helen?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm living on death row.
Mm-hmm.
"That it was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally."
Amen.
And
Amen.
That's what we've been.
That is exactly where
Helen,
it brings you to.
Helen, we have been forced,
yes,
yeah, to
absolutely.
Trust God totally.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises the dead."
Mm-hmm.
"And he did it, rescued us from certain doom. And he'll do it again, rescuing us as many times as we need rescuing. You and your prayers are part of the rescue operation." And I could say that to so many
Amen.
People out there. He goes on, "I don't want you to be in the dark about that either. I can see your faces even now, lifted in praise for God's deliverance of us, a rescue in which your prayers played such a crucial part." Is that amazing
mm-hmm.
or what? I can't get over that.
It's just, when you read that, I mean, it really makes you feel like he really understood what people go through.
Yes.
And he was just so real.
And did he know that that would affect us now?
Yeah. And it's so relatable to life today.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
It's so powerful to actually realize that somebody as amazing as the Apostle Paul felt the way that we can do, like completely desperate in dire situations, crying out to God and not feeling like he's hearing us, crying out and, you know, questioning, why me? Why my husband? Why my dad?
Exactly.
You know, and,
you know, a lot of times I talk to people who don't believe in God, for example, or either, you know, they're just a Christian that's kind of wavering, and they'll go, what do you do, Annie, when God is silent? And Helen, I got to be honest with you, through this, God has been silent much. Through all of my walk, has God ever been this silent? And sometimes it has begun to shake my faith a little bit, but then it never fails. At that last moment when you're going, God, why are you so silent? Then he speaks.
In that still, silent voice. I completely get that, because as I was battling with my emotions and hurts throughout the journey with my dad, I mean, I was over here visiting Somi when we found out it was terminal. I couldn't even be with my dad. So there were certain things that happened. But when I actually took my eyes off me and started to say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you teaching me? He'd be prepared me all my life for what I had to go through with my dad. And how do you want to grow me? And when I shifted my perspective, then God spoke. Showed me. Because I was so mad he wasn't going to get to see my children grow up. He wasn't going to get to see. He doesn't know he has a grandson. Well, I believe he does.
But
He's never met him in the flesh.
It is that knot in your stomach, devastation.
Yes.
You know, that you just wish you had this so bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
But once I took my eyes off myself, then the Lord, it's like my eyes were opened and the Lord could show me all the things that he had put into place. My dad prayed for years and years that I would marry a godly man and that I would have children, because I was married young and divorced very young. And so I had a long 14 years being single.
Gosh.
And the Lord showed me, Helen, he saw that.
Oh my goodness.
He got to give you away, albeit from 5,000 miles away via Skype.
Oh my goodness.
But then he got to come over here. He got to see me when I was pregnant, and we took my mom and dad to see the scan when we find out it was a girl. She's named after him.
Okay.
And yeah, she's Jenna Lee. His name was Lee. And he got to see her. He got to come and meet her too.
Oh.
And I mean, all the things that I wanted to say to him, his final trip, he took ill again over here. The final trip was amazing, because I was absolutely at peace. And when I knew he was very close to death, I said to my mom, tell him he can go. It's okay. I've said everything I need to say. He knows I love him. I've said it all. God gave me that. He gave me the opportunity to have those conversations with my dad.
That's awesome. See, God knows.
He does.
And we just have to really come to terms that he's God and we're not.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just so hard. So Peter and I recently, you know, we went to the doctor like we would, and it seems like I just got to where I hate to go to the doctor's office anymore.
Because it's bad news, you know.
And just recently we got some more bad news, and we both came home, felt that web of depression begin to come over us. And the next morning, Helen, I got up and I went, no. No, I have a choice.
Yes.
I have a choice. And so you know what I did? I put worship music on really loud and I started dancing. And I danced around my house and I praised God and I cried out to him how much I loved him. And I just, if I felt this depression leave me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because what can I do is let the enemy just come all destroy me?
That's what he's trying to do.
Like he did try to do to you, like he tries to do to Betty. You know, like he tried to do to my mother when she lost, you know, my dad. And just so I just decided, you know, and it doesn't do my husband any good to see me going around moping either.
No.
So, you know, we're watching Christmas shows and trying to enjoy ourselves some, you know, and just keep believing, because a miracle could happen at the last moment, but we're not stupid. You know what I mean? We know that it's about life in your body, too. So anyway, we've got about a minute left here. It goes by so fast.
It really does.
I know
it. It just shows how long we must talk.
But
when
I
we
love
really
it.
Do
but
talk.
You know what, guys? This is what Helen and I sound like on the telephone.
I know.
Okay? But it just goes a lot longer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because I don't have to say, well, Helen, we have just about 30 more seconds here. So that's about it. So I'm going to hang up. But anyway, I'm just so, so happy to have you here on the journey
Thank
with
you.
Me.
Thank you for having me.
Just a
me.
Blessing. And if you ever need any Scentsy, Helen is our go-to girl for the Scentsy.
Thank you.
And I have the greatest, you know, in the last few seconds here, I'll just say this. I have the best idea. She has this Scentsy called Snowy Spruce that smells just like a real Christmas tree. I put it in a Scentsy warmer behind my Christmas tree. You walk in and it smells, my fake tree smells like
your
the real tree.
Tree. It does.
So people are out there going to be going, how do I get this? Contact me and I'll put you in contact with Helen.
Thank you.
But you know what? I'm going to close with one of the songs from my first Christmas album, which was entitled Memories, which is an album that I wrote the song Memories for my daddy, and that album is dedicated to him. My album Seasons, the song Seasons I wrote for my mother, and Seasons album is dedicated to my mother. But there was a statement that I would care to make to you. First of all, that God loves you so much, more than you will ever be able to realize. And you don't have to, if you're a Christian or even a non-Christian, you don't have to leave with guilt, because we all have those emotions. But let me say this. Jesus Christ came to this earth to remove all our guilt. And remember this, He is always watching you.
We hope Annie has given you something to think about today and the encouragement you need to continue on your journey. It is Annie's desire that you are spurred on to good works and that you strive for a higher calling. Your donations are greatly needed to keep this program on the air. You can give via PayPal at our secure website or by checks written to ECM. All donations go directly to the radio stations that air The Journey and are tax deductible. Again, our phone number is 702-277-1911. That's 702-277-1911. Join Annie again next week on The Journey, and may God bless you.
Bless you. Bless you.